It's time!
You guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's Half Athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them. I cover them. I do all I can with sports. Joining me in studio for today's episode of Half Athlete Radio, as always, he's a tight end for the PLU football team. He's the only athlete left on staff here at Half Athlete Radio. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how have you been?
You know, doing good. Halloween weekend is coming up, and Speaking of that, we got a big game against Linfield, sixth in the nation. So, you know, and school's piling up, so this is a big week for me academically and athletically.
Ooh, academically. Look at him throwing that word around like it ain't no thing.
That's right.
Also joining us in studio, he's our new co-host. He's a half athlete like myself. His name is Seth Bershing. Seth, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Christian. Thank you. I had a lot of projects and papers and whatnot with the midterm being this last week, but I'm glad that that's in the rearview mirror now and looking forward to another show today.
Yeah, I'm battling a kind of a cold. Can you hear it? Can you hear
that?
Yeah,
I was just about to ask you.
Yeah, I'm battling through it. Like, I am good enough to be here, I guess, but noticeably, audibly, not what I usually am. So we're gonna tough this one out and get through this show and this day. I gotta be here all day long.
You know, there's some days where you're not feeling it either in practice or a game, and today is just one of those days. We call it a choose it day in the football program, yeah, and today you're just gonna have to choose it, man.
Well, I'm choosing it for sure because I got class until 3:30, and then I got to wait around here until 6:30 for a basketball scrimmage that I'm working.
Speaking of class, you have a new class.
Oh, let's
that's
talk
taught
about it.
Here at PLU. Which is why we're doing the show an hour earlier. Tell us a little about that.
That's exactly why we're here an hour earlier, is because at 9:15, I'm going to go down and practice my relaxation techniques. So I'm going to go...
Yeah, explain.
So last Monday was the syllabus day, and we talked about, you know, what's going to happen in this class. It's going to be a lot of stretching, a lot of breathing exercises. And the professor straight up said, like, yeah, you're going to lay down and take a nap for 20 minutes. Like, dress warm, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay.
One question.
Yeah.
Where do I sign up?
You're going to have to wait. There's actually one first year in there, which no one believes that how that person got into that class, because everyone takes it in, like, their final year. Mm-hmm. But just wait a couple years, and it'll be all yours. Save a PE credit, because that's what I'm using it for.
Sweet.
So save a PE credit.
Yeah.
DJ, you trying to take in the spring or what?
I might. Just depends on if I can fit it in there and for room. Maybe in J term. I don't know. But J term's pretty low.
Three hours of relaxation.
J term's pretty low key as it is. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
That'd be so tough. All right. I want to remind those of you who are listening that if you enjoy what you're listening to, and if you want to go back and listen to old episodes in their full form, you can do it at massmedia.pou.edu. Again, it's massmedia.pou.edu. We're excited about our YouTube page because we continue to grow. We're up to 62 subscribers on YouTube. It's Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. I've made the executive decision that if we reach 70 subscribers, a variation of the three of us, if we can't all make it, we'll come in here and do a bonus show that is YouTube content only. So we'll meet up on a Friday at whatever time we're all available and freestyle a show and then put it up on YouTube, because the people want content, they're going to get it, and they're going to get it on YouTube. So if you want a bonus show of Half Athlete Radio like I do, DJ, do you want one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Seth, you want
one? Let's do it.
Let's make it happen.
All right, there it is.
I feel like we could put a personal spin on it too, like something different out of the box that we don't usually
do. Sure, we could take calls all day long and talk about whatever, anyone who calls it. We could do anything, literally anything, because we're in America, and that's what we can do. But... if you want a bonus show, we need to reach 70 subscribers on YouTube. So go to YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio on YouTube, and we'll make that happen. If you want to call us, like we mentioned throughout the show, you can do it 253-535-7332. Once again, the phone number to call us is 253-535-7332. Let's get it started with some POU athletics like we usually do. POU football picked up a win over the weekend. They won 27-14 over Willamette in Willamette. And when you look through the scoring, kind of the scoring plays, the big plays that POU needs to win games, they got it. It started with a Cole Chandler pass to Jacob
Play Kingman. One.
That went 46 yards. Very first play of the game?
Wow. Well, I mean, our first offensive play.
POU's offensive play starts with a 46-yard touchdown from Cole Chandler to Jacob King. And that's exactly what they want. However, one play that stuck out was just a 3-yard touchdown run from Ethan McKeldry. DJ, I'll ask you, we talk about it all the time. As we've already mentioned, you know, POU needs that big play. How comforting was it to see your team finish off a 15-play, 64-yard drive with a 3-yard smash into the end zone?
Well,
for
I mean,
6 points.
It felt pretty good because I had a key block on
right.
that play.
Right. But as a whole, just to finally, like, okay, we capped a drive with an easy 3-yard run.
Yeah, I mean, the first half in the Willamette game, we were firing on all cylinders. And, you know, we were able to have, you know, a good mix of big plays. And then we finished off that drive. I think we only stalled out on one offensive drive. And even then, with the weather conditions like they were, it was raining all day, very windy.
Mm-hmm.
We only sputtered on one drive. And we were, I think, on the 30-yard line. So kind of in that weird range where you're not close enough for a field goal, but you're
right.
a ways out still.
Right.
So we had to go for it on fourth down. But yeah, it was definitely good to see that progress. We still have to put a full game together.
Right.
And especially this weekend against Linfield, 1 p.m. at Spark Stadium for everybody who's
listening.
Look
at that plug. Keep going with the big plays. Travis McMillian, he's a defensive stud. This kid's a superstar. Like multiple, like double digit tackles mm-hmm. every single time he plays.
By the way, sorry to cut you off, but D3 team, he's on the D3 football team of the week.
Yeah.
For those two picks.
Yeah, he totally could be. He had two interceptions, including a pick six, so another big play that POU needed. Then, DJ, you had a big play that POU needed.
Hey, look at that.
32-yard touchdown catch from DJ Winter.
That now makes 4 touchdowns on the year.
No one's counting, though.
Yeah, well, I am.
Here's the thing, Seth. He'll come in here and talk about how he has 4 touchdowns on the year, but when Brady scores a touchdown the day he doesn't, no mention that Brady scored a touchdown.
Right?
You remember that?
Yeah, come on. Obviously, Christian.
Jealousy.
Four touchdowns I've only not scored in one of the games.
Listen to him go.
But no one's keeping track here. And I had 2 receptions, so 50% of the time I touched the ball in the Willamette game, I scored.
There you
just
go.
Throwing that
wow.
out there.
Looking at the bright side.
Yep. Statistically, DJ is the man when it comes to catching passes.
Guess they'll have to get you the ball more if you get in the end zone.
Oh, wow, Seth. Look at that. Look at that. Wow, that's an interesting concept right there. Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you. And,
I got
you know,
your back.
It means more coming from you than it does coming from me.
Oh, my goodness. You mentioned that POU needs to put a full game together, DJ. The POU defense held Willamette scoreless for 3 quarters, but the game is 4 quarters long, and,
mm-hmm.
and Willamette comes up with 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. But mm-hmm. overall, a good win for you guys coming off a couple of, we'd call them bad losses, but you guys are getting on the right track.
I mean, we were right there, too, for both of those. But, yes, they are bad losses, games we should have won.
All right, moving on. Seth, you want to take us through what happened with POU women's soccer this week?
Sure. So women's soccer had a couple games. On Wednesday, they played at Puget Sound, where they actually lost a rare defeat for them, 1-0 to Puget Sound, which was almost a fluky loss simply because they outshot Puget Sound 14-2.
Jeez. Yeah, that's insane.
Then on Sunday, they beat Willamette 2-0 with goals from Michaela Grady and Liz Griffith. And Christian, I understand it was a little rainy for that game.
Dude, it was the wildest thing I had ever seen because we were over there at Eastfield and we were in the donkey, myself, Dylan Foreman, Zach Goff, and Chloe. I don't know her last name, but she was in there too.
From volleyball?
She does statistics, not from volleyball.
Chloe Chapman?
I don't know.
Okay.
I know her last name.
Keep going.
It was cool for the first half. Everything was dry. And then all of a sudden, this amazing, like, Noah's Ark type rain squall came through and was just destroying Eastfield. Like, the wind picked up, and you could see, like, you look over and the fans pop their umbrellas up and, like, okay, cool. And then later, you see this mass exodus of fans leaving Eastfield because the rain is so heavy and hard. And, I mean, we were undercover somewhat, but we were all soaked. We had to actually shut down the broadcast because the rain was too heavy. Everything was getting wet, so we just kind of like punted, and we're like, it's not worth ruining equipment.
Story of my life on Saturday down there at Willamette. Like, it was, and it didn't stop raining the whole way home either. We were hydroplaning, and it was kind of sketchy coming home.
It's crazy, but yeah, it was a good bounce back win for POU women's soccer on Sunday through the wind and the rain. It was wild.
Yeah.
DJ, you want to tell us what happened with POU volleyball?
Yeah, so volleyball was at home last weekend on Friday. The Lutes played the Linfield Wildcats and beat them 3-1. They actually lost the first set 26-28, but went on to win the next three 25-15, 25-15, and then the final score of 25-22 in the fourth set. So, you know, a good solid win. And then on Saturday, the Lutes beat a struggling Lewis and Clark team 3-1. They killed them in the first set 25-8, then 25-18. And Christian, you said in the third set, they kind of, you know, let off the gas pedal a little bit, ended up losing that one 19-25, and then came back in the fourth set to win 25-14. So, you know, good solid weekend for Lutes volleyball. They're still first place in the conference, and
two-game lead in the conference.
There you go. And they're looking forward to playoffs. I talked to Julia last night. She said they just got to keep doing their thing, and they shouldn't have a problem with getting in those playoffs. They actually received national attention too. They're ranked 25th right now nationally. They're 17-3 overall with an 11-1 mark in conference. Yeah, so they are bringing it home right now for Lute Athletics.
You mentioned that third set against Lewis and Clark. As you mentioned, Lewis and Clark struggling. I think they had one, maybe two wins coming into
Sunday's game. Yeah, right now they're 1-11 in conference.
Yeah, so it's been a rough year for Lewis and Clark volleyball. Mm-hmm. Kevin Aoki chose to go with some players who don't normally see the court, and selfishly, everyone at the table was I shouldn't say everyone, me especially, was a little sad that we had to watch an extra set and we couldn't go home early, but Lute's got the job done anyway, so everything worked out well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump over to men's soccer, who could have had, you know what, I'm going to say it, they had the most exciting week for POU athletics.
I second
by
that.
By far. I mean, when you hear about what went down, if you haven't read about it already on golutes.com, you're going to be pleasantly surprised and excited for this weekend here at home. They went on the road, two huge games at Whitman and Whitworth, which DJ can tell everyone that's a tough. Those are two tough places to go.
Yes.
No one likes that long, long bus ride, but mm-hmm. they made it
happen. It takes its toll on you.
Both games were described as must perform well for the Lutes, and they did so. On Saturday, the Lutes took on Whitman. POU fell behind twice when Whitman went up 1-0 and then later 2-1 in that same game. Eddie Na scored both goals for the Lutes that ended up tying up the game. It was unassisted. It happened in the 56th minute, and that game ended in a 2-2 tie, so they didn't lose, which was, you know, the most important thing of the weekend. But on Sunday is the one that was far and away the most exciting contest maybe of the year for any POU athletic team. I don't think I'm exaggerating.
No, not at all.
The Lutes fell behind twice in that game to Whitworth. They fell behind 1-0 and then 2-1 to the Pirates. Whitworth went up 2-1 in the 85th minute. That leaves just like 5 minutes left for POU to at least tie the game, and you know, soccer game scoring is very few and far between. They needed to score two goals to win, and they did. In 5 minutes, they scored two goals. Spencer Hokama cashed in from 20 yards out for his first goal of the season in the 86th minute. So just wrapping your head around that in a must not lose, I'll call it that, must not lose situation. A guy who hasn't scored a goal all season long cashes in from 20 yards out to tie the game up. And then Eddie Na set Joe Sammartino up to be the hero. Sammartino hit from 7 yards out with a shot that found the back right corner very late in the game, I think in the final minute of that game. And POU would go on to win 3-2 over Whitworth. Like, that is crazy, especially to do it on the road at Whitworth. The electrifying win sets up a huge matchup this Saturday on Eastfield. POU hosts Willamette. Willamette is in first place with 26 points and an 8-1-2 record in conference. POU is second in conference with 23 points and a 7-2-2 record in the Northwest Conference. And then on Sunday, POU hosts Linfield, who is 0-10-1 in conference. It basically comes down to a winner-take-all at Eastfield on Saturday. Everybody plays at home this weekend. This is a weekend that the sports information department has had circled as one of those weekends that's going to be extremely tough. If you have to pick where you're going to go, I'm sorry, DJ, you should probably come to East Field at 2:30 to watch the men's soccer game.
I mean,
that's winner take all.
I'm not going to disagree with you. Obviously, I have a little bias here for football, but yes, if we're looking at the biggest contests on PLU's campus, well, I mean, just by that alone, football isn't on PLU's campus.
Okay,
so.
Come on. We're not playing that game. It's not hard to get to Sparks Stadium. We're not talking about that right
now. But yes, I agree with you. The biggest game of the weekend for PLU is that soccer game on Saturday against Willamette.
Absolutely. Seth, are you working this weekend? Are you going to be able to make it out to some of this stuff? Or what's your
I haven't looked ahead that far. I'm sure I'm probably working. But if I was free, I would be going to the soccer game. Sorry, DJ.
That's
nothing
fine.
Personal, but the stakes are just so much higher.
You
for totally fine. Men's soccer.
You bet. All right, it's time for a quick break here on Half Athlete Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk about the University of Washington Huskies and what their season looks like for the rest of the year. So don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is DJ Winter. You know, number 87, I play tight end here on the football team. I'm joined by my fellow co-host, one of PLU's half athlete, Christian Bond. He doesn't play sports anymore, but he writes about them and talks about them with us on the radio. Also in studio, our co-host, Seth.
Not the new guy anymore?
Yeah, Seth Bershing.
He's lost his new guy.
If you like what you're listening to and want to hear it again, log on to massmedia.plu.edu. Again, that's massmedia.plu.edu. And like we said before, you got to check out our YouTube page. We're up to 62 subscribers, my fault, and we couldn't be more thankful if we get 70, Christian said.
Right. Yes, 70 is the number we want right now.
Executive decision. We will do an extra show for you guys. It might just be me and Christian, me and Seth, Seth and Christian, but we will get that extra show for you. So if you want more content, subscribe to our YouTube page. It's Half Athlete Radio. If you want to call into the show and talk about the Huskies, which we will hear in a sec, the number is 253-535-7332. Again, that's 253-535-7332. All right, so like I said, we're going to talk the Huskies. They currently sit at 12th in the AP poll behind Oklahoma, who's 10th, Oklahoma State, who's 11th. And I guess the question I kind of have for you guys is, can they still make the playoffs? They got a remaining schedule. This weekend they play UCLA. By the way, that's at 12:30. That's not a nighttime kickoff.
Oh, yeah.
Then another game next weekend against Oregon at home, a big test at Stanford on a Friday night. Then they play Utah and finish up with the Apple Cup against Wazoo. And then hopefully the Pac-12 championship, just throwing that out there.
Right.
Is there enough teams there to beat in order to make the playoff? Obviously, I think some things have to happen, but is there enough there in the remaining schedule for the Dogs to make the playoffs? Christian?
Seth, you go for it first. I want to hear what Seth has to say.
Not in their own schedule, no. They're going to need some help.
Okay.
They have six undefeated teams ahead of them in the poll right now and five one-loss teams ahead of them, too. And nobody on the Huskies remaining schedule is a big enough matchup that they're going to jump seven or eight of these other teams.
I'm gonna agree with you, Seth. Straight up for the Huskies, I don't think they're making the Final Four, the college football playoff. It's not even a matter of who they play and who they don't play. They're just not as good as they were last year. To me, people are questioning the ability of Jake Browning, and it's not so much the ability of Jake Browning, but it's the options and the threats that he has around him. I think that when you take away the fastest man who has ever played football in John Ross,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Chico McClatchy gets hurt, Dante Pettis is their only option from a receiving standpoint. I don't know any other receivers' names for the Huskies.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, part of that could be my fault, but I think that the reason being is because there's no other threats there.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Gaskin still on the team?
Yeah.
There's your running option.
So the duo of him and Coleman have provided a nice 1-2 punch.
Yeah, so they have a good run game, but as far as passing the ball, they don't have as many threats. It's going to make their offense worse, and I think that people are understanding that. There's no, you know, two different receivers you have to cover. If you cover up Dante Pettis, you can probably shut down this UW offense. And I don't think that they are going to be able to do enough to get themselves in the conversation of the last four teams that should be playing college football.
Okay. Okay. Hypothetically saying, because, I mean, you talk about the offense. The defense, you know, has been pretty stellar this year. Right now they're giving up 3.6 yards per game, which is actually first in front of the vaunted Alabama defense, who sits at 3.9 yards per game. If they kind of lean on that defense and score enough points, maybe let's say they win each game by an average of 21 points for these last five games, does that change your opinion at all on if they do kind of make the playoff?
That stat is going to change dramatically once they start playing teams like Stanford and Washington State.
Okay.
They won't be near the top five by the time they end up playing Wazoo and Stanford.
Okay. The last 2 years, though, they have shut down Wazoo's passing defense. One of those was with a backup quarterback, but last year wasn't. I think they only gave up 14 points in that game.
I mean, that's fine. If you want to call us and give us your thoughts on this topic, you can do it at 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. DJ, that's a great stat, and it looks really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've done that against Colorado and teams like Colorado, Rutgers gave them a tough matchup. But
yeah,
Montana State, didn't they play Montana State or Montana?
Montana, University of Montana.
So, I mean, you know, that's going to change eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Good stat right now, but I don't think it's going to be that way towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, another interesting thing to point out is in each of the last 3 years for the final four teams, three out of the four teams have been one-loss teams.
That's fine, yeah.
In my opinion, I think you're going to see a lot change these next 5 weeks. You're going to have a lot of teams go down. I know there's a big one in Columbus this weekend with Ohio State. Penn State visits Columbus. That's a matchup of 2 versus 6, so somebody's going to lose there. Preferably, I would want to have Ohio State lose, because that automatically puts them at 2 losses. They're not making the playoff there. And, you know, the SEC, you still got the Iron Bowl coming up. You got LSU versus Alabama, so you got a lot of, you know, big games coming up that could provide that loss to maybe bolster UW into the top 10 and maybe even to the top 4. What do you think, Seth?
I think it's tough for the Huskies right now simply because the Pac-12 is not very good this year. The Cougars just came off a very bad loss. USC this week lost 49-14 mm-hmm. to Notre Dame.
Which Notre Dame actually jumped UW in the standings.
So with a blowout loss for some of these top teams in the Pac-12, I don't see how you can put the Huskies up there with these other teams who are like the Big Ten. You've got Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin all playing each other, and the Huskies aren't playing any of those teams. We're playing teams that are a ways below that level.
Mm-hmm. And
I think from an outsider's perspective, going back to last year was essentially, you know, kind of like, it was cool to, like, have UW in the Final Four just because, like, they haven't been good in so long. Like, it was kind of just fun. It was probably fun for the people who are setting that thing up to go, we'll throw that team from Washington in there. And now people are more aware that, you know, not by any fault of their own, but that you know, preseason, pre-conference schedule is so soft. People are so aware of that now. And now that their one loss has come to a team like Arizona State and not a team with the reputation of a USC, that has done more damage than I think can be repaired.
One more thing, like you said right there, their one loss is to Arizona State. Arizona State actually beat Utah in a battle for first place in the Pac-12 South 30-10, so pretty handily. And if I'm not mistaken, that game was in Utah. So I think Arizona State is a better team than what we're giving them credit for.
No, that's fair. But if Arizona State would have entered, you know, that UW game undefeated and then would have gone on to maybe have their one loss come to USC or something like that, they would be a team who was flirting with that top four, because mm-hmm. that would have been cool or hip or trendy to put Arizona State, because they have, like UW, you know, haven't been good in so long.
Yeah, and
that would have been trendy. Like, this year was a prove it year for UW, and they dropped a game and now I think have done too much damage to help themselves.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll see how I mean, real Arizona State is, because I mean, they have USC on their remaining schedule, because they are in the South. So
the problem with that is Arizona State's a 4-3 team. It's gonna look like a bad loss for UW, no matter what the final record is for Arizona State.
Yeah. So I think the main thing here is UW needs a lot of help. It looks pretty dark right now for UW. They don't have a high chance, but you know, until they're mathematically eliminated, like the Mariners were at the end of the season, then I guess we'll hold on to that. Next Tuesday, we'll see what the College Football Playoff Selection Committee thinks of them, because the rankings come out next Tuesday, so that can be something we revisit in next week's show. But for now, chances are slim. They need something to happen.
That they do. All right, it's time for a quick break here on Half Athlete Radio. When we come back, we'll talk about what the Seahawks did over the weekend, talk about maybe some new additions they made and what they got to do moving forward. Don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Seth Bershing. I am a half athlete here at PLU. I don't play sports, unfortunately, anymore. I would love to, but such is not the case. I am joined today by another half athlete. His name is Christian Bond. Doesn't play sports anymore, but he writes about them and loves to talk about them on the radio. Also in studio with us is our only athlete left on staff. His name is DJ Winter, tight end of the PLU football team.
Mm-hmm.
If you like what you're listening to and want to hear it again, log on to massmedia.plu.edu. Again, that's massmedia.plu.edu. You have got to check out our YouTube page. We're up to 62 subscribers. Very thankful to all of you who have subscribed. We really want to get to 70 subscribers, and if we do, we are going to set up a bonus show for you guys. Whether that's just DJ and I, Christian and I, Christian and DJ, all of us, we'll make it happen. If you want more content, definitely go subscribe to that YouTube page. It's Half Athlete Radio. And if you want to call into the show, please do. The number is 253-535-7332. Again, 253-535-7332. The Seahawks this week played the New York Giants. Final score was 24-7. What did you guys see this week from the Seahawks?
I would say disappointment in Jimmy Graham. He had, I've been a big, as you know, big advocate for tight ends, and he had.
It's like soapbox material for you.
Oh yeah, it's like a lay-in that you know is an easy basket. He had three drops, all in the first half. He kind of came back and redeemed himself in the second half and finished up with three catches for 51 yards. But, you know, Jimmy Graham, I feel like, has been somewhat – people know that he's frustrated, and when he comes out and does something like that, that's not good material for you to put your case on when you drop three balls. One of them was a touchdown. I did like the play calling down in the red zone when we're starting to now see that fade to him thrown more. But my theme of the game was, you know, disappointment in Jimmy Graham. Christian, your thoughts?
What stuck out to me the most, and, you know, we knew this coming in. The Giants were 1-5 coming into the game. Like, this is a game where the Seahawks, kind of a get-right game, if you want to use that terminology. And the Seahawks came into Sunday, and it was, for me, it was about the penalties that the Seahawks, you know, hurt themselves with. I mean, this is a game that you can go, even on the road, you can go in there, and a team like the Seahawks can just walk all over the Giants if they want to. They did, but they had 15 penalties that cost them 110 yards.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you pointed that out, Christian. The defense was great. The offense was sloppy, especially the first half.
It was sloppy, and the first half was, you know, it was a close game. It was a 7-3 game at halftime, but you can't. The Seahawks were down at halftime 7-3, and it was all because of the penalties that they had done to themselves. And if that, like I said, I've said it, it's self-inflicted. If they continue to do that against better teams, fortunately for the Seahawks, the better teams don't come for a long, long time. But if you continue to do that to yourself, you're going to win. You're not going to win close football games that you need to against good opponents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Seth, I'm going to have to disagree with you on the sloppiness of the Hawks. I mean, Wilson was 27 for 39, 334 yards, three touchdowns. Both Rawls and Lacy both had 11 carries for 60 yards. So, you know, that's not the production that we want out of our running game. But, you know, I did see some improvement in that offensive line. I really want to highlight Reese Odhiambo. He's been playing. He had to step in for George Fant, and he's been playing, in my opinion, lights out over the last three games. I really focused on him this game, and he didn't give up one sack. He's had some injury problems, especially with that bruised heart, but I feel like he's been the best on that offensive line, and I think we're slowly starting to see that improvement that the Hawks, you know, are usually used to, and we get better just as the season goes along and along. And I think that offensive line is starting to flow with some continuity there.
My thing with the Seahawks offense was 3 points in the first half. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first half was sloppy.
Turn it over that one time with the lost fumble.
Yep.
That's sloppy when you turn it over. And I believe they were in the red zone when that turnover happened, right?
It was towards close. the 50, yeah.
Okay.
It was going out.
All right. But nonetheless, I mean, Eli Manning only had 134 passing yards for the whole day. New York was only 2 for 12 on third downs. Only 14 first downs for the whole game. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks controlled time of possession, and we scored 3 points in the first half. And the final score was 24-7.
Mm-hmm.
With the defense being as good as it was, the Seahawks should have won this game 40-0.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a point for that very well. I think so many games in the NFL are just, there's no really guaranteed games like there is in college where you're playing an FCS team like we talked about with the Huskies. Each game, especially taking a road trip all the way over to New York, it's never been an easy place to win, and there's no guaranteed games in the NFL. I know the Giants were struggling a little bit, but they looked really good against the Broncos on that Sunday night game the prior week. So, I mean, I'm very enthused with where the Hawks are right now, and I'm excited to see what they do this Sunday against Houston, because I think going forward this team is going to be in the playoffs and win the NFC West like I've stood by before.
Yeah, I think we could move forward and talk about that Houston game. I mean, this is... they're on a run right now where the Seahawks are, where their schedule isn't the toughest for a while. I mean, coming up, you mentioned the Houston Texans at home. You know, Texans have a rookie quarterback. J.J. Watt is out. I mean, that's a game where we should see more improvement from the Seattle offense as a whole, more consistency from the Seattle defense. The Washington Redskins, I think that's a beatable team. At the Arizona Cardinals, they don't have a quarterback right now. Mm-hmm. You know,
and I mean, they sure got walloped by the Rams on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't they
33-0.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, the Cardinals are, you know, even the Falcons coming up later in the year, Monday night game, the Falcons look terrible with Steve Sarkisian calling plays for that offense. I mean, that's a stacked offense, and they look terrible.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons going into Foxborough is never an easy place to win, and the Falcons saw how that played out Sunday night. I still think the Falcons are one of those, they're right in it right now for the NFC South because of how bad I don't want to say how bad, but how mediocre that division is right now. So I think the Hawks schedule, Houston is average. But I mean, the Redskins are contending for a division title in the East and maybe even a wild card spot. So I think we'll see that start to pick up. Yes, the Cardinals don't look as good anymore because of Carson Palmer going down, but that defense is still pretty dang good. So it'll be interesting to see how the Hawks do going forward. We just signed Dwight Freeney. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Let's talk about that.
Because our defensive line is, you know, they've seen their struggles without Cliff Averill. Right now they're only getting pressure on 9% of pass plays, which is 16th right now in the NFL. So, I mean, the Seahawks probably saw that stat way before we did and noticed it. But we signed Dwight Freeney, like I said, and it'll be interesting to see where he's at in his progression because he's coming in right now, like kind of mid-season. So it might be a few weeks before we see him really start to produce. What are you guys' thoughts on Dwight Freeney and the signing of that?
I'm not sure he's going to make a huge impact other than just add some depth mm-hmm. to the D-line. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's probably not going to start, and they might ease him in the first couple weeks, but we might see him a little bit more end of the season, mm-hmm. playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Ready to make that playoff run, Christian?
I think it shows that they're all in, but it also shows that they are battling some injuries on that defensive line with Cliff Averill being out for maybe forever. That's a tough one to lose. And then Michael Bennett dealing with plantar fasciitis, which I'm sure is probably one of the most annoying injuries to have to deal with when your foot isn't right. So I think that shows they're all in, but I think it's also a little scary in the fact that they're a little thin right now on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, their depth is going to be tested, and it's always tested in the NFL. Injuries happen in football, and they happen every year. You just don't know when they're going to strike. The Hawks have been pretty, I would say, healthy for the most part this year. But yeah, that depth is going to be something to look at going forward.
You guys think a 12-4 record is out of the question? You think that's attainable?
Let me look at the schedule, but I don't. No, I don't think so.
You don't? Like, is it good enough to win the division?
Yeah, it's good enough for a one seed in the NFC right now.
That's true. We're only a half game out of...
Seahawks are a half game out of first, the top seed in the NFC. I mean, everyone's lost to everyone.
Yeah. And I see that continuing to happen. Let's see. We got Texans at... That'll be a win, especially at home. Deshaun Watson is not going to be able to come into Seattle and do what he's been able to do.
To be fair, though, I believe Watson has the top QB passer rating right now in the NFL.
I believe he does, too. He also has the most touchdowns right now at 15. The Washington, that's another game at home. Hawks are always good at home. I see that as a win. Thursday night down in Arizona, that could be a struggle. The Hawks have never been a good road team, so
maybe they'll tie again. That'd be exciting.
I really hope
they're gonna beat up on the Cardinals. The Cardinals don't have a quarterback. The defense is too good. Like, that's a wash. They're gonna beat the Cardinals bad on Thursday night.
Okay,
and at home at the end of the season. Like, this team,
Palmer
has
could be
a
back
soft,
for that game.
SAWFT soft schedule to close out the rest of the year.
So are you saying more than 12-4 or what?
I'll put it at 12-4. Okay, the Philadelphia game could be tough.
I was going
to
say.
Jacksonville's defense is very good, and they could probably drop the game to L.A. at home.
I'm going to say.
Those are the ones that look like are losable games, but for the rest of the way, come on. This team is looking for a number one seed in the NFC.
I'm going to say 12-4 is pretty good. I say the two losses we accrue through that is Philadelphia and Jacksonville. Just because Jacksonville is at Jacksonville. It's a 10 a.m. start, which the Hawks have only seen, I don't think, at all this year. So that's going to be something different for them. Another big road trip to the East Coast. So I say, you know, 12-4 is pretty attainable. 13-3 would even be better because that Philadelphia game's
obviously
at home.
Obviously, it would be better.
Yeah.
Seth, what do you got? Seth, what do you got for then we got to go?
I think they might drop one of their games to the Cardinals, probably the one.
What to the Cardinals? What? Okay.
I think
going.
The Cardinals will be better once Palmer's back. I think.
Duh.
They still got AP.
Oh my.
They still got a running game.
The Cardinals are a good team. They brought back the same offense, most of the same defense from last year. A very good team that went to the NFC Championship just a year or two ago. I think they might drop one of those games, and I think they might lose the one to the Rams at home. But other than that, I think they should go 12-4, 11-5 at the worst.
It's never easy to go on the road.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We got to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the World Series. We're one game in. The Dodgers are one up on the Astros, 1-0. So we'll make some predictions for the World Series for the end of this show. Don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative, it's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, I cover them, I do all I can with them. Mentally, I'm an athlete. Physically, I'm just a guy.
You're an athlete.
I'm just a guy. Joining me in studio, you heard his voice. His name is DJ Winter. He is a tight end for the POU football team.
4 touchdowns.
A touchdown threat, as he loves to tell you about, but no
scores
one's keeping 50% track.
50% of the time.
Absolutely. 50% of the time DJ touches the ball, he scores. 100% of the time that he's on laser, he also scores.
Mm.
Also joining us in studio, you can hear his voice. His name is Seth Bershing. He is new to the show. He's been new for 2 months, and we're still trying to figure out when we're going to stop calling him new. But
hey, I didn't call him new today.
I like DJ's intro better. I'm not new.
He's not new. He doesn't want to be new no more. All right. If you like what you're listening to, you can go back and listen to it. Guys, tell them where they can hear it, because I got to do something real quick.
For me.
We got a caller. If you're familiar with POU Athletics, you've heard this name before. This is Anthony. He lives off campus. He plays third base for the POU baseball team.
Oh.
And we're talking World Series, so Anthony, of course, wants to talk some World Series with us. Anthony, how you doing,
Hello,
man?
How's it going, boys?
It's going
pretty good. How are you?
It's going great. Can you give me a World Series prediction?
The Astros.
Astros, how many games?
6.
Why?
Because they're young, good, and got Altuve.
Hey, I like that answer. Altuve's my boy.
That's what you going to go with? All right, Anthony. Dude, thanks so much for calling in today. Call us next week, dude. We'll be on Wednesday at 8 a.m.
Go Loot.
Yeah. I like it. We're getting some callers. Seth, what are your thoughts on the World Series, man?
Well, I am pulling for the Astros. Even if they are in the Mariners division, I do like the youth movement that they've got there with young guys like Correa, Altuve. I want to say Astros in 7, but my gut instinct told me to say Dodgers in 6. We'll see what happens, but I'm rooting Astros.
All right, Astros in 6. Here's why. They got good hitting, and they got enough pitching to get them over the hump. Their pitching is going to be way better than they were in the ALCS, and they are going to win in 6. They got youth. They're exciting. They're young, except for Beltran, maybe. I'm really high on this Astros team right now. Like Anthony was saying, Astros in 6.
All right, I'm going to go with Dodgers in 5.
Oh.
And you can look at my phone. I texted that before the game started last night. Dodgers, of course, lead
the
Astros.
Texted it or tweeted it?
I texted it last night. I'll let you go through the chat right now.
Oh, okay.
Dodgers in 5. You guys are all cool. Youth movement. Well, there's only 3 players from both teams who have played in the World Series before. Both teams are young. I think that the Dodgers have better pitching. The Dodgers have been red hot all year long. Speaking of red hot, Josh Turner is probably Justin Turner. My bad.
You're good.
Probably the toughest out in baseball right now.
Who else on that Dodgers team has been a tough out, Christian?
Chris Taylor has been the greatest meme in baseball right now. Chris Taylor, if you remember the name, he was a former, probably Rainier would probably be a better way to describe what he was. He was a guy who was close but never could make it to the Mariners.
Like so many of them before.
Was traded for Zach Lee to the Dodgers. Zach Lee, in case you were wondering, was released by the Padres in August.
Ooh.
So we'll see how that trade, we know how that trade worked out. Before he went to the Dodgers, Chris Taylor had one home run in his life at the major league level. He's hit like 22 this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think if anything, it shows how late the Mariners' philosophy is with baseball. The Mariners want to control the strike zone, so they want to draw their walks and then put the ball in play. Right now, both teams who are in the World Series, they do like to take walks, but they also like to
hit bombs.
Mm-hmm. All the three hits that scored runs in last night's World Series game,
home runs. I think that's you said it perfectly, Christian. The MLB broke the record for most home runs in a season this year, and to be honest, they kind of crushed it out of the park, if you will.
Right.
but I agree, the Mariners are behind the times when it comes to philosophy. You saw it last night. The Astros were swinging. Kershaw only threw 88 pitches, and the Astros were going after a lot of first pitch strikes. Simply because they want to, make contact with the ball and try and hit it out and hit it with power.
First pitch strikes, historically, that means first pitch is going to be a fastball. If you can sit on a fastball and put a decent swing that's going to put backspin on the baseball,
yeah,
you're going to hit it out of the park. Chris Taylor did it in his first at-bat last night.
No, yeah.
He destroyed that baseball. It was hit so far. Best meme of the playoffs is Chris Taylor for Mariners fans.
Yes.
Best meme.
Yes.
And it's hilarious. You can't even be mad at it because it's just a philosophical difference that it comes down to changing his swing just a little bit. Hit the bottom of the baseball, not the top. Now he's hitting balls out of the park.
We've seen it with more than just Chris Taylor.
Right.
With Mariners players overall, when they have this reputation that when they go to a different team, they start doing better. Not just hitters, but pitchers as well. That's a whole nother story for a different day. But the Mariners are behind the times when it comes to
philosophy. We talked about a week or two ago. Logan Morrison hit 39 home runs.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
He's never a 39 exactly. home run guy in Seattle.
Uh-huh. And I think we tend to blame it on the field that they play in or the Seattle air.
Not a thing.
But, yeah, it's got to be a philosophy thing more so than
I do think,
than the stadium.
I am going to lean on that. And there is a little bit of truth to that. But when you go to other parks, you're going to visit hitter-friendly parks, and that's your chance to hit home runs. It can't just be it's got to be more than just your 3, 4, and 5 hitters in today's day in baseball. The Astros leadoff hitter, George Springer, I'm pretty sure led the MLB for leadoff hitters in home runs. That's so big when you can, in that crucial first inning, as Christian would say, hit a home run to lead the game off. That automatically takes pressure off of your pitcher the rest of the game, and everybody just in general, the hitters, they're not stressing as much to try and get ahead and hit that homer.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's fun to watch Chris Taylor right now because he's playing really, really well.
Who knew he could play outfield?
Athlete, you could put him at center field. He was going to be a shortstop.
I feel like
moving back. I mean, a lot of people do it. Ian Desmond did it a couple years ago. I mean, this is what it is.
I feel like a lot of MLB players are better athletes than what we give them credit for.
Oh, you don't think? Yeah? Tell me more, DJ.
I mean, a lot of the stereotype is that baseball has the least amount of athletes in there because you see big, bulky first basemen.
David Ortiz, Prince Fielder.
Those are rare athletes that, they have a lot of power because of how bulky they are. But, I mean, in the outfield, those guys have to cover so much ground. And try and focus on that little ball and catch it. That's harder to do than what we give them credit for. And that there are more athletes in the MLB.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to watch. So once again, can we go around the room real quick and hear our predictions on the World Series? Seth, who you got and how many games?
Astros in 7.
Dude, he hesitated. I might have changed his mind. DJ, what do you got?
Astros in 6.
Dodgers in 5.
Hmm.
That's what I'm going to go
7, 6, and 5.
We are out of time. We gotta get out of here. Want to remind you that you should subscribe to our YouTube page. It's Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. We're at 62 subscribers right now. 8 more, that'll give us 70. And then we will come in here and we'll do a bonus show. We'll upload it to YouTube only and get some more content up on that YouTube page. There's also Half Athlete Tries videos. We produced, I think, 3 of those. And Anthony Gosselin, you heard him here earlier in this segment. He was a part of that, so you can see myself try and do what POU athletes do, and it, I think those turned out really well, so you can only see those on YouTube. Also want to remind you to listen to Laser all week long. Tune in on Friday at 10:30 to listen to HNC Sports. Hina, Lou, and Carson Barnett, they're members of the POU football team, and they love to talk about football. They love national news. You'll get a lot of national news on that show, so be sure to check it out. Also, check out What's the Big Deal with Dylan Foreman, Sarah Cornell-Meyer, and Zach Goff. We're still trying to find a date for their show, a time for their show. They had to switch it up because Dylan and Zach are both members of the POU basketball team, and their season is starting up, and Fridays are travel days a lot of the time, or they're already gone. So we gotta find a new time for that show, but when they get back on the air, it's definitely a show that you want to check out. So for Seth Bershig and DJ Winter, my name is Christian Bond. Tune in next week, Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. It's going to be Half Athlete Radio on Loudaire Student Radio. We're out of here. See ya.